This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. Friends, we've been studying for the past several days about the kingdom of Jesus Christ, about Christ being king, about the fact that he's already king. It isn't that he's going to be king someday, but that he is now king. He became king over his kingdom, head over his church, the church and the kingdom being one and the same thing, on the first day of Pentecost following the resurrection of Christ. As we closed our study last time, we had just read to you from Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8, and I had pointed out that this is clearly a prophecy concerning the Messiah. It describes first what happened to Christ during his civil and religious trials, that is, before the Jews and before the Romans, and secondly, his actual crucifixion, which resulted from that trial and his final condemnation by Pilate, the Roman governor. All of this can be learned from the latter portions of each of the 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts chapter 8, verses 31 to 35 makes clear that Philip, the inspired evangelist who preached to the man of Ethiopia, that is, preached Jesus Christ to him, pointed out that the death of Christ and attendant events constituted the fulfillment of this very passage, that is, of Isaiah chapter 53 in the Old Testament. Thus it is clear that the Holy Spirit, by the pen of the prophet Isaiah, indicated that Christ came not to live and reign on earth over a military power for 1,000 literal years, but he came to be crucified that men might be saved, just as the records in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and other New Testament books indicate that he was. This truth alone shows that the theory of premillennialism is false. Christ died according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, said Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 23, and not as the result of an unexpected rejection, as premillennial people hold, a doctrine. Now, secondly, we are proceeding here in the proof of the various elements of this second premise of our basic argument, prophecies made and fulfilled concerning his burial. We have talked, first of all, about prophecy made and fulfilled concerning the death of Christ. Now we talk about prophecy made and fulfilled concerning his burial. And again we turn to the prophet Isaiah, who says, "And they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and neither was any deceit in his mouth." Isaiah 53 and 9. Among the New Testament passages which show the actual fulfillment of this prophecy are the following: Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 to 60, Luke chapter 23, verse 53, Mark chapter 15, verse 46, John chapter 19, verse 42, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christ was crucified between two thieves and was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man. Now, in the third place, in the proof of the second premises, we note prophecies made and fulfilled concerning the resurrection of Christ. The psalmist in the Old Testament gives us the following message: "For thou wilt not leave my soul to Sheol, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." Psalm 16, verse 10. According to the Apostle Peter, as recorded in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, this passage was fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Apostle Peter affirmed that he and the other apostles were witnesses of that resurrection. Therefore, it is clear that it was not the plan of God that Christ should come to reign on earth a literal 1,000 years, but that he should be crucified at the end of a brief, that is, a relatively short ministry on earth, just as the Bible records that he was, and be raised from the dead, just as he was, before he had been dead long enough for his flesh to corrupt. This point alone proves that the theory of premillennialism is false. But again, our time is gone. I am glad you've been with us today. I hope you'll be back with us next time as we continue our study of the doctrine of premillennialism, which denies the truth concerning Christ and his kingdom. Until then, may God be with you and keep you, is my prayer.